Ta-da. You hear my voice.
Yeah, I do.
Isn't that so weird? It's so weird, too. Like, even when I listen back to some of them when I'm editing, I'm like, damn, I start all of them the same exact way. Yeah. Every single one. I'm like, you hear the echo? People probably are so tired of me saying that, but it's kind of tradition now. Kind of have to do it. But yeah, all right. Now that we got the echo out of the way, we'll just jump right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we'll just start with, how old are you?
I'm 17 years old.
And then where do you go to school?
Los Gatos High School.
Ta-da! We have a class together this... We have two classes together this year.
Yeah, we do.
Two out of my four, too. So you're 50% of my time.
Yeah.
And we sit next to each other in both.
I know, yeah.
Just realizing that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, it's definitely... It's been a year so far. I don't know if I say a good year, a bad year. It's been a year.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
How have you been feeling about senior year in general so far?
You know, like, every single time I, like, progress 1 year in high school, mm-hmm. I always feel like, oh, you know, I'm a junior, or like I start off as a, like, if I'm a sophomore and then I go into junior year, I feel like, oh, at the beginning of junior I'm still like a sophomore at heart.
Yeah,
you know, and like I feel like like my entire childhood has led up to this point.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, this is the moment, this is where all of your extracurriculars, all of the things that all the mm-hmm. classes you've taken, all the tests you've taken, that's when it pays off, and that's when you're applying everything, and you're applying to college, and your future's ahead of you. So I think that, like, I've kind of been mentally prepared, but, like, actually being here in, like, you know, senior year, like, now that it's here, it's kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. Do you feel like it has paid off, or are you still at that point of, like, damn, did I do all that for nothing, kind of, or, like, how is that even, I don't know, like, do you feel fulfilled at this point? Because I feel like I always expected that I would get to this point and be like, ta-da, I did it. Like, wipe my hand. I've said ta-da like 3 times already, but I was thinking that. But it's just, you reach that point where you're like, oh, you think that you're going to get here and be like, I did it. I made it. And I don't know. It hasn't felt like that for me yet. And I don't know if that's, you know.
Yeah, I think that, like, a lot of the things that growing up in, like, you know, this society, which mm-hmm. is a very obviously high achieving society, mm-hmm. and, like, growing up and thinking that, you know, everything, that, you know, all these things, you're going to learn all these, like, you know, skills and tools that you're going to use in your future.
Yeah.
I feel like all that is pretty much crap.
100%.
And, like, now that I am, like, you know, in senior year, and you're kind of like, I'm almost an adult, I'm going to have to, you know, move forward. I feel pretty lost, to be honest. Like, all the, you know, like, the AP classes, all the extracurriculars, it feels like it's supposed to be, you know, oh, it's supposed to equip you for your future.
Yeah.
But honestly, all it is pretty much just social pressure.
Yeah,
and
that's so true.
And just saying that, you know, you have to do these, there's like a laundry list of things. It's like you have to check the box and you have to do this. You have to do summer, you know, internship.
Yeah, some summer program.
Yeah, and like, you know, but when you actually get to it, it's like all that goes down the drain.
Yeah.
If you really don't know who you are and who you want to be, because people can do all that and more, but still kind of not understand who they are.
Yeah,
and then 100%. Leave high school. Yeah,
it's so, like, I don't know, and I'm not the kind of person to like bash on school entirely. Like, it's not, you know, I don't think anyone would be like, oh, school is so awful and they don't teach us anything and they don't do this, because you do learn things. The question is, like, how well does it actually prepare you to go into the world and to have a better understanding of yourself? Because I think honestly a lot of high school is not helpful, and if anything does the opposite,
right,
and can
yeah.
be harmful. And I think a lot of the like learning and stuff that you're even getting is social learning. It's from your peers, it's from the experiences, and it's more of like the practices that you have to implement in high school in terms of, like, you know, organization and being on time and this stuff, rather than like the actual knowledge. And then it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like you wasted a lot of your time and energy into knowledge that A, you're going to forget very quickly, mm-hmm. because, like, if we're being honest, like, half the things we, like, do in school and learn in school are to remember them for the test that's in a week, and
then
it just goes down the drain. And it's like, damn, I really wish that I knew how to do things that I actually care about. And, like, I wish that school would have given me a platform to, I don't know, to even do something like this. Like, it was like, this is something that I love to do and that mm-hmm. I'm so excited about. But I really didn't get any of the skills to make this happen from school, which is kind of sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I feel like a lot of people, when they go through school and they, you know, are learning the information in their classes, they're not keeping, like, it's hard when you have like these grades and this pressure to succeed in the class. You're not keeping like the end goal in mind. Like, you know, if you're in an English class, you're not keeping the goal of like, I want to learn how to communicate. You're keeping like, how am I going to get an A on this essay?
100%.
And I feel like, I think that school is obviously like an education is supposed to help broaden your perspective on life. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's not, I'm not blaming like, you know, the school system entirely. It's also just like the social pressure and like being around like that, you know, environment, and everyone tries their best and is doing everything that they can. And it's like hard to, until you reach the point, like at the end of the cliff almost, like it's high school where it's like, you're not really at the point where you're just focusing on school anymore.
Yeah.
You realize that, wow, I have a lot to learn still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like there's so much more to go and so much more to do from here. And like, speaking of, it's like you're at, like, for those who aren't going to know you and, you know, don't know, like even parents and stuff who don't know who you are and stuff, like you're very academically high achieving, you know what I mean? And like, you're very much at the top of all your classes and doing summer programs and doing all these things and stuff. And like, genuinely incredibly intelligent.
Oh, thank you and so much.
No, of course, because so it's the honestly. Truth. Thank you. But it's honestly the truth. And like, I think I'm curious to see like how, you know, that feels to you and like what it, I don't know if you feel like you've placed your values on the right things or if you feel like you've wasted some of that time or, you know, like you said, you don't necessarily feel like it's gotten you to the place where you want to be in terms of knowing yourself. So I don't know. What is that? How is that kind of that journey sort of been for you through school?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, as a student, you're told to kind of like, you know, you have to work hard and you have to make sure that you are, you know, doing your best at whatever you do. And I've tried my best to do that. And I think that in some part of that, you lose yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're so focused on achieving in external parts of your life that you don't focus on, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
Which is really what's going to make a difference. And I think that it's been really, I mean, as I, like, you know, I interact with my peers and I, like, have a relationship with a lot of people at school and everything, I think that I try really hard to make sure that my motivations are in the right place. And, like, that, you know, like, a lot of what I do is truly because I really want to make a difference. And that could, you know, it could come out as, like, oh, she's just studying all the time.
Right.
But I think that I really try to, you know, make sure that my motivations are intrinsic, but it's obviously inevitable that a lot of that is going to, some of it is going to be social pressure that's going to cause that. But I think that, I do have a lot of work to do, even though I maybe like, like I've worked really hard at academics. Like I have a lot of work to do personally that I think that, you know, scares me sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I feel like that was like definitely the case with me, at least, was like, it's always those things too of people talking about how like you always want to, like even when you're studying, you want to study the material that you know well. You know what I mean? Like everyone wants to stay in the zone of doing the things that they know that they're good at. And for me too, like that was always school. Like I was like, I know that I'm good at this. I know that I can, you know, perform well and I do well in a system like this. And so I was like, this is where I'm going to focus my attention because it makes me feel good knowing that I'm good, you know?
Right. And yeah.
And it diverted my attention away from like who I actually am and the things I actually want and the people that I care about and all these things, because I was like, maybe I'm not as good at those things, or like, those are kind of foreign territory to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just focus on the part that I'm good at.
Yeah. It's just fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Like it's just exactly what you said. It's just like when people know that they're not good at something, they think that they're scared of pursuing it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's inevitable. People just, it's like a instinct that, you know, I'm going to go after what I'm good at and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it ends up just kind of screwing us in the end too, because it's like, you know, it's great to do well in school, but we all know that like,
it isn't everything.
Exactly. It's exactly, not everything. Yeah. And there's so much more to life than that. And in this environment right now, it's like, we can't always see that, but then you do get to that point, like, you know, senior year and stuff is changing. And then you're like, oh, there are other things for me to focus on or for me to have done. And I don't know. I just think it's such a shame too of like almost every year, I feel like the senior class learns this. The senior class has that realization. And then it's a matter of like, how do we get the younger generation to learn those lessons in a way where they don't have to experience them, right? Like, how do we do it so they don't have to go through that stress?
Right.
And they can learn from our mistakes of being so focused and being so, like, driven in a direction that maybe wasn't the best for us. Like, I just still think of how many kids are going into things, going into certain activities and things just being like, oh, this is going to look great in an application.
Yeah, exactly.
And how sad is that?
I know.
That's what we're... Yeah. That's what's driving us.
I know, because once you don't have that motivation, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
Once you're done with applications and, you know, it's just like, what, like, you know, you can't just, you're just going to be floating and, like, you have to find something to hold on to. And I think that one thing could be yourself, which is, you know, what do I want to do?
Right. Yeah. And at that point, sometimes if you haven't focused on that, you're like, I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary. And yeah, in terms of academics and stuff too, how has kind of like your family and your perspective sort of been shaped by like the people around you?
Yeah, I mean, so like my family is, you know, both my parents are immigrants,
mm-hmm.
and they like, you know, they came here on their own. Like my mom, she is like a huge part of my life, and mm-hmm. she always tells me about how she, you know, came here on her own to pursue education essentially, and like wants to like build a life here, mm-hmm. and kind of give me opportunities, obviously. And that has kind of like made my, I guess, like how I view like my opportunities. It's like made me more like respectful and like thankful for them. And like in terms of education, it's kind of like definitely I've had sort of like pressure kind of mm-hmm. to, you know, academically high, like achieve highly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there've been, you know, different aspects of my family, which have had different effects on my life.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll get into that more. But yeah, I think that my, just like being part, like as part of an immigrant family, mm-hmm. like my cult, like the culture that I come from is like very much like, you know, you need to value like everything that's given to you.
Yeah.
And make sure that you utilize it to the best of your ability.
Right.
And don't just throw it away. So,
and I feel like that's sometimes so tough because it's like can be so like guilt inducing if you don't, you know what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. that pressure of like you need to take advantage of the things that are given to you, because if you don't, like, it's, you know, like you're letting us down, or it's like we didn't have that opportunity, so how is it that you're throwing it away, sort
right.
of thing. And like
right,
because I've definitely felt that before too. And like just that idea of like, I don't know, I think I always, when people would tell me do your best, I felt like my best was perfection.
Yeah.
And so it was always like, do your best means be perfect to me. Like those are synonymous, you know? And so it's like, that's not sustainable. And like,
exactly.
you can't live like that. But it's just like, once that's ingrained in your head, you feel like if you're not doing perfectly, then you're letting people down.
Yeah. And I feel like I agree with that mm-hmm. completely. And I think that from a super young age, it's like, it's not necessarily like my family that has put that, like, I feel like the values, it's just like implicit. It's not even, it's not
like they sit you down and tell it to you.
Exactly. And it's like, it's honestly like pressure that you're putting on yourself.
Yeah.
Like from like a super young age, I honestly, like when I was in like elementary school and stuff, I would just put so much pressure on myself and to do everything perfectly. And I honestly was like, when I got into middle school, I was like, do I have OCD?
Yeah.
I was like checking symptoms and like I was, you know, thinking of like, you know, going to like a therapist, honestly, and just saying like, why am I so like, why am I like beating myself up so hard, you know? So yeah.
It's crazy. Like we just put so much of our own self-worth into those numbers and into the grades that we end up getting. And like, I think the worst thing for me was going between elementary school and middle school and having power school where you could see your grades.
Oh my gosh.
Actively.
Because
it was like, you know, like elementary school, like you didn't get your grade until like summer break kind of thing. Like they handed you a report card in an envelope, you brought it home to your parents and you're like, oh, look what I got. E's and S's or like whatever the grades were. And like, and you know, that was better because you weren't focused on it all the time. And then middle school came and suddenly you could check your grades anytime.
I know.
Power School was literally the most used app on my phone. Like I was refreshing it like every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's delusional. The fact that in sixth grade I was like, what are my stats right now?
I know.
How am I doing?
It's like, I mean,
what?
Yeah, exactly. And it was like at the point where like my mom wouldn't check my grades, and yeah, I would.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think my parents ever knew my login information.
Yeah, exactly. To this day, yeah, I'm the only one just like refresh, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah, it's very very it's just degrading almost. Yeah. Even though your grades may be stable, mm-hmm. or it's just like weird to think that that's what you keep on doing yeah. all the time. When you could be focusing on something else.
100%. And like, yeah. That's where your value in yourself is.
Yeah.
And like, when that stuff changes, you're like, wow, I am bad, or like, I am failing, or mm-hmm. not doing well. And it's like our idea of failing. Like, I was definitely that kid too, that everyone, that like my friends would always shit on in middle school, because I would always be the one to be like, oh my God, I did so badly. I got a 94. Yeah. And then I'll be like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. And it took me so long to like realize and be like, wow, I sound like an asshole.
Exactly. And like, you're not, it's like, yeah. It's not intentional though. And it's also like, you don't mean it, but honestly, like your friends who maybe have like, you know, were getting like lower scores and you probably felt really bad. And
exactly.
I did the same thing and I looked back and I was like, wait, you know, that's not cool.
I'm like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. That probably made me seem like such a dick. And like, I really wasn't trying to be. And it's like, it's that weird thing, because it's like, it was like, I wasn't saying that to hurt them. It was me being genuinely disappointed in myself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that is so crazy mm-hmm. that that's, you know, that every person's level of like what's going to make you satisfied with yourself and what's going to make you feel like you didn't do your best is so different. Because someone can get a 75 and be like, fuck yeah, I nailed that.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has different ranges, and you know, we're not trying to make people feel bad, but you don't realize that impact that you have on other people, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Because you're just so caught up in your own, you know, your mm-hmm. own, you know, performance that you don't realize the effect. And I think that it's important, like, as I went through, like, going through that and, like, the pressure and also, like, you know, people saying, oh, what'd you get? Oh,
yeah.
What'd you get? It's kind of like you learn to just, you know, compete with yourself, honestly, and just be, like, based off of the, like, you know, the resources I had, the time that I took to study, how good of a grade is this? Like, that's pretty much it. And that's been really helpful to look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, that's a so much better, like, way to kind of view it. Do you feel like, I don't know, what do you think? Because I feel like a lot of parents almost, and this is not to, like, toot my own horn, but I feel like a lot of parents, like, almost wish at first, like, they think that this is what they want their kids to be. You know what I mean? They think they want their kids to be the high achieving, you know, getting great grades, checking all those boxes of extracurriculars, all that stuff, where they don't even have to be hands-on. Like, they don't have mm-hmm. to remind you to do your homework and stuff. You just do it because you're just like a dutiful child. And I think a lot of parents, like, when, you know, maybe their kids are younger or something, it's like, yeah, that would be great. It would be great to have a kid like that. And then I think we get older, you know, the kids who are actually like that, and we're like, wow, we're really fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really did some damage to, like, our self-esteem, the way we see ourselves, all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know. I think that when parents are able to see kind of, like, what this ends up looking like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, maybe we don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's not the best to, you know, put pressure on that. And not saying that our parents did or anything, but like, just in general, maybe it's not the best to put that kind of emphasis there, because it doesn't always end up how you think it's gonna end up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, I mean, there's always like a balance between, like, you know, your personal life, which is like focusing on you and your relationships, and, you know, your education and maybe other parts of your life. And I think that for like the majority of most people's lives, it's like, focus on your education, focus on this. And then afterwards, once they realize, you know, once, like, you know, mental health problems kick in, or like once you start feeling like, you know, you don't know who you really are, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, then they sort of like pull back that rein and then just be like, focus on yourself.
Go the other way.
Yeah. But it's hard to reverse that, right? Yeah. It's like, you're so like hardwired to do that. It's like, you can't just flip the switch and just be like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to focus on myself.
Completely.
And meditate.
You know? Yeah. It's like the snowball effect. And like, the momentum has picked up so much that for you to make that hard shift at this point, you know, like, the older you are, the longer you've been doing it is so hard.
Yeah. And it's hard to have like a 50-50 all the time. You know, it's difficult.
And I feel like the mindset too makes us very, like, as people, makes us very, like, just not willing to accept our own issues, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we don't we don't want problems because problems are a hindrance mm-hmm. to our ability to succeed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, no, that's not something I can deal with because that will prevent me from getting the grades that I want or, you know, exactly. doing as well as I want.
And I think that honestly, like, there are like problems in our life that mm-hmm. we have, and then people use other stuff to like numb those problems, you know, and make them go away. You know, for some people it's like, you know, if it's problems with their like academics, they may like try to, you know, use that as like use another part of their life as like an outlet.
Right.
And then maybe not focus on that. And for me, I think that like personal problems like with relationships, mm-hmm. I those problems are drowned by like, you know, right. I just go and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna study, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that it's difficult to like deal with that, and kind of once you don't have that thing, you don't have like the stuff to study, and you don't have like the classes to take, you're kind of like, wait,
what happens now?
And I just feel like over like summer, even like summer vacation, when you don't have stuff to do, it's just like it just spirals down. You know, it's like it's supposed to be a time where you're just so relaxed. It's
the best. Yeah,
I know, but it's like you realize that, wow, when I'm not doing all the other stuff, this is what I have to deal with. Mm-hmm.
yeah because it's like, oh, all of a sudden I have time to pay attention to my problems.
Exactly.
You're like, oh god,
yeah,
they are coming to the surface quickly. So what do you think, like, in terms of what those things are, what do you kind of think have been those struggles that maybe you've sort of, you know, pushed to the side or just been like, you know, you're not going to be in the spotlight right now. We're going to focus on some other stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I think that probably the most, or like the biggest, or the problem that's kind of been at the back of my head is my relationship to my father, mm-hmm. with my father. That's been pretty tough from like when I was like super young. Because like my mom and my dad are like super different.
Yeah.
And like, you know, my mom has, I mean, just even in terms of like values, just so different. And I feel obviously like I'm closer to my mom, mm-hmm. and like I talk to her more often, but it's just kind of like the fact that my dad is pretty much absent, not really in my life that much. Because like when I was growing up, like it was pretty much just like my mom was trying to like be the glue that holds everything mm-hmm. together, right? Like my dad would get home at like, you know, 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. And it would just be like, you know, where are you? You know, you're not here.
Right.
And then the times that he was, it was just very unstable.
Yeah.
And I felt like I didn't have that constant presence, and I could go talk to him. And I knew of the fact that he and my mom had problems, like, in their marriage before I was born. And partly, like, because of just, like, the different, like, values that they've been brought up with. Right. But also kind of, like, they're just totally different people.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of tough on, like, my views on myself and kind mm-hmm. of being, like, I'm a product of two polar opposites.
Yeah.
Which one do I identify
right.
with? Right. And, like, growing up, it's, like, sometimes you have certain things that happen to you and then you react in a certain way and you're, like, wait, that makes me evil.
Yeah.
And there's certain things where, like, wait, which part am I, you know, like, what path am I going to take, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, you see this person who is, like, you know, is, like, half of your DNA and, like, this just your parent, like one of your parents is just totally, totally different or totally like the opposite of your other, and it's just like, which one am I gonna follow?
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's interesting too how we do view like stuff like that as like very binary almost, in like, you know, I either am going to be like my mom or I either I'm going to be like my dad. And like for me, that was always the case too. Of like people would always tell me that I was just like my dad. And, like, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that kind of thing. But I, you know, in my younger years, I wasn't that close with my dad. And we had kind of a tumultuous relationship. And it was, like, you know, and, like, what does your dad do, too? I was going to ask you that, sorry.
Like, for, like, a career? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an engineer.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that's both the hours. Are. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my dad's a doctor. And so he was, when I was really young, too, like, he was working all the time. Like, it was kind of thing where, you know, he would get back at 10, maybe, but I was in bed because I was, like, a kindergartner, and then, you know, leave at 6 a.m. So I didn't really see him. And when he did come home, you know, he's exhausted. He doesn't have the energy to deal with a child, especially one like me, who's like, Dad, pay attention to me. Watch me, Dad. And, you know, he would, you know, not neglect me, but he would, you know, probably didn't give me the attention that I was craving and didn't, didn't feel like someone I could go to kind of thing at the time. Because, like, and I remember, too, like, my sister, who's, you know, not that much younger than I am, like, a year and a half younger than me, and she, like, we were both in, like, Indian Princesses, which also, why the fuck is it called that, first of all? It's definitely messed up, but it was, like, you know, the girl equivalent of sort of, like, Boy Scouts, but, like, it was, like, dad-daughter bonding sort of thing. Like, we'd go on camping trips or, like, make bracelets together, whatever it was. And so, everyone was doing it. All my friends and their dads were in, you know, Indian Princesses, all this stuff. And we were in it for, like, 2 months, and then we had to drop out because my dad couldn't do the commitment kind of thing. And so it was like, oh, that's a bummer. You know what I mean? And like, and there were definitely things too where, like, you know, ways that I've seen my parents behave or things where I'm like, am I destined to become this sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know. It's just such a weird dynamic to have. And I think it's really hard when, like, relationships are always hard to navigate, but especially the ones, like, in your own home and the ones that you, that are at least theoretically supposed to last a lifetime. Like, they're supposed to be the most enduring relationships, and so it's really hard when there's something kind of messing with that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, how do you feel like your relationship with your dad, like, progressed through, you know, as you got older?
Yeah, for sure. I think that in the beginning, it was kind of like, I didn't really know what was going on initially, because it was kind of like, you know, everyone has that ideal in their head where it's like, you know, you have a perfect family and everyone's super close and they're super open. And I just kind of quickly realized that mine was different than everyone else's. And like, I only, like, you know, it's just like a natural instinct. Like, you're close to the person who's there for you, right? And that was my mom, and it wasn't my dad because, you know, it was just kind of like, I would grow up and I would just, you know, I would, it was just a lot of fighting, and it was just, it would just be like, you know, my mom just being like, you know, where are you, you know, you're not here, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and you know, you don't, you're it's just, it was just super difficult to deal with for her, I think, especially because it was like she had that vision in her head, which she'd worked so hard to like build a family and make sure that it was all okay. And I think that she, like a lot of, you know, parents, I feel like if their spouse maybe, like, you know, is doing something that they don't agree with, they don't initially, like, in front of their kid especially, they're like, oh, I'll be supportive of my spouse no matter what. But I feel like, and I think my mom initially felt like that. Like, I would, I mean, honestly, it was, looking back on it, it was a pretty verbally abusive relationship that I had with my dad. And I think that my dad as a person was just verbally abusive with me and my mom, and it was like, looking back on, you're like, oh shit,
that's really hard enough to acknowledge.
And like, from a super young age, like, I would come home and I would be super happy, like, oh, like, you know, I did really well on this test, and my dad would just be like, well, I was in like fourth grade, and he would just be like, well, do you know how to do multivariable calculus? And he would give me a question on that, and he would just be like, do you know how to do it? And he would just like scream at me for no reason. And like, my mom couldn't just stand there and do nothing, right? So she kind of made that step and said like, okay, well, you know, I have to, you know, stand up for what's right, even though it's, you know, I'm, you know, clashing with the person who I'm supposed to be a partner to, right? So it kind of ended up kind of like the split in my family started to like grow because of what he did was just ethically wrong. And just like stuff like that, like just overall, just growing up, it was just like him continuously trying to like push me down where I already was, and like push my mom down and like blame her for things that she didn't have control over, and like, you know, tell me like, oh, like, are you sure you want to take another serving of that, you know, are you going to eat that much? And it was just like, how do you deal with that, right? And it was like, the times that he was present in my life, he was just not positive presence, and like, I, it was very, very difficult to deal with, because you're like, well, I don't have time, I don't have an opportunity to confront him and ask him because he's not there. And when he is there, he just, you know, turns it back on me and does something else that makes me feel like shit, you know?
And especially when it's like, when it's coming from an adult, and like, especially like a father figure, someone who is supposed to have that kind of, you know, has a big influence on your life and stuff, it's so hard to confront that and like do something about it. And like, I literally, when you said the like, oh, do you want another, are you sure you want another serving of that, something like, my dad verbatim had, you know, said that throughout my childhood and stuff. And like, it was one of those things where I didn't know how to even deal with that too. I was just like, I guess I'm just gonna cry, because I don't emotionally even know, like, how I'm supposed to formulate words to say to you that that's not right or that that makes me feel bad.
Exactly. Because you're just accepting the supposed authority.
Right.
And you're like, I'm supposed to respect this person because they're older than me. And, like, I think as I grew older, I felt like, you know, the respect should come from you.
Yes.
Because you should, I mean, it's not like, I'm not saying that he should earn it, but I'm saying, honestly, like, it should start from him. Like, he should respect what I want and respect me. And, like, also, he would, like, it would just be a lot of stuff that's, like, you know, like, when I was growing up, that he and my mom would fight a lot.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, you know, he would say really mean stuff to my mom and, like, you know, call her, like, horrible names and, like, blame her for, like, a whole bunch of stuff. And it's like, you expect me to see that and still act like nothing happened.
Right.
Because he, like, it's just a hard time because it's like, you know, he thinks that, oh, I'm not saying anything directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you should, you know, be okay. You should be fine. But it's just like the emotional connection with my mom. It's just like, I feel like I need to stand up for that.
Yeah.
And I can't just forgive you. For doing that, and I can't just act like nothing happened.
Yeah. So. And I was thinking about that the other day, too, of how, like, when it comes to adults, it seems like, you know, we have this idea of respect, of, like, respect your elders, right? And especially, like, in certain cultures and, like, you know, with my dad being, you know, Middle Eastern and just, like, the way that that is just kind of ingrained. Like, of course you respect your elders. Like, you don't talk back to your parents. You don't, you know, they are the authority and therefore you don't speak up. And, like, to some extent, I understand that. And to another extent, I'm like, that is just paving the way for, like, abuse to just run rampant. You know what I mean? It's just, like, this whole idea of, like, you sit there and you take it even when you know it's wrong. And even when you know that, you know, you don't deserve it or something like that. And, yeah, there's a difference between being 6 and being 12 in this scenario. But, you know, when you get to that point in your life, too, where you're older and you still don't feel like you can advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Especially in your own home, that is so hard. And the way that that, like, translates to real life is, like, people just end up, you know, walking over you or making you feel bad about yourself and all these things because that happened in your own home. You know what I mean? Where it's, like, supposed to be a safe place. And, like, how did that also affect you, you know, having to go through that and experience that and also being, you know, not having any siblings there too, like, being the only child? Because I feel like, at least for me, what was nice is that, like, when something happened, I could go, you know, cry to my sister and be like, Dad's being so mean right now. And she's like, I know he's mean sometimes. And, like, you know, I at least had that. But, like, how was that experience for you since you were an only child?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it was difficult. I think that it would be wrong to say, like, oh, I adapted pretty well.
Right,
and I, like, it was fine. But, I mean, sometimes, like, I do wish that I had someone my own age that I could talk to. And I think that obviously I can talk to my mom all the time, like, about everything. You know, if anything that happens, like, I feel like it's a safe space. But at the same time, I feel like she has her own problems of, like, you know, that she has to deal with. And I think that it's unfair for me to just pile all that stuff on her.
Yeah.
And, like, having someone my own age who's also, like, in the same, like, generation, going through the same things, like, probably maybe, like, you know, going to the same school and, like, having the same stress might be, like, helpful because it's, like, you know, just, like, a friend to, like, help you out and who may be, like, you know, you can relate to and who's going through the same things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And did you ever feel like it was, you know, hard to maybe express things to your friends or people around you? Because, like, at least, you know, that for me was the nice part of having a sibling was that it was, like, you know, you're witnessing the same thing I am. You're living the same experience I am. And sometimes I felt like, if I tried to explain that to people, you know, outside my family, if I was trying to talk about it with my friends, it was maybe like they just wouldn't understand necessarily because they hadn't witnessed the dynamic, the constant, you know, the way, the constant interaction. And or I didn't want, like, to bring, like, shame on my family sort of thing. Like, I didn't want to make my family look bad in my friends' eyes. So I don't know if you ever experienced anything like that.
Yeah, I think that, like, initially, it was kind of, like, just feeling super weird to tell someone else about it and feeling that they're going to judge you immediately because, you know, that's what people do. Mm-hmm. They see, like, they hear your problems and they just say, like, oh, that's whatever. You're like, oh, it's your fault. Or, and I think that it's not everyone. And I think that I had, like, a misconception that everyone would be like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that to this day, like, I haven't told anyone about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, I've told only, like, a few of my close friends. And I think that it's super difficult to talk about once like you reach past, like you're past a certain, I didn't grow up talking about it like outside of my family, mm-hmm. and it's kind of hard to start now.
Yeah.
Because it's just gotten so much worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, and it's also like dealing with the emotional thing, like, you know, emotion, you're, you know, maturing emotionally, and you're maturing, like, you know, you have, you're coming to, you're accepting what's happened to you.
Yeah.
And you're looking back on everything. You're like, oh, I know what that is now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The reflection process is like so simultaneously good and bad, because it's like, you know, it's good to finally be able to acknowledge and make sense of your experiences and stuff, but it's also really hard to have to look back and be like, that I went through some shit, you know, or like, that wasn't right. fair that I was treated like that. And like, at least for me, when that started, when I finally started kind of like coming to terms and being old enough to realize, you know, what I'd experienced and that maybe a lot of the things that I had experienced weren't right, it was like, for me, I reacted with like a lot of anger, and like my kind of feelings were like, fuck you. Like, I can't believe like you would have treated me this way, or you would have done that. So like, I don't know, has that ever, have you ever kind of had this like resentment towards your dad or anything that's kind of escalated from
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I think that like the main part that makes like a difference, I think that is, you know, it's not just something that, I mean, it's something that happened during like my childhood, but it's like still happening.
Right.
And it's something that I think that everybody has stuff that they've gone through previously and also stuff they're going through right,
right.
now. And I think that it's not, maybe like I said before that I like look back on it, but it's honestly like I'm not, it's at current. That point. It's mm-hmm. it's still current. Like I'm realizing that. And it's like there are things that I look back on and I'm like, wow, I didn't say anything because mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. But now I have a lot more strength in myself and like ability to stand up for myself because I know what's wrong and yeah. what's right in terms of like how I should be treated and how people should treat other people.
Yeah. And so now that you are at a point where you can kind of, you know, advocate for yourself, how has that like affected the dynamic?
I think it's made it worse for like the relationship that I have with my dad, but mm-hmm. made it like personally like more, I'm able to like be at peace with it more.
Yeah.
So like if, like, you know, right now like my dad won't like try to like verbally abuse me
mm-hmm.
because he knows that I'll know that it's wrong. I'll right. identify that it's wrong, and my mom will identify that it's wrong, and he can't get away with it.
Yeah.
And I think that right now still it's just like at that middle stage where mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I have not been able to forgive him
mm-hmm.
and I feel a lot of like resentment mm-hmm. and hate, and I feel like that doesn't really control my life, but like it's there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I'll be able to like grow up and go back and just be like, oh, well, that happened a while yeah. ago. Like, you know, I forgive you. It's fine. Right. Like, you know, like a while ago, like I think it was like at the end of middle school, like I stopped calling him dad.
Yeah.
And it was super difficult, but it's just like, that you need to deserve that by doing right. things for me. You can't just, you know, not be there and just expect that social, the pressure is and like the rule is
right
that,
and this is how it is and...
exactly that, you know, I have to call you this and I have to respect you a certain yeah. way, you know. And like, yeah, I think that right now it's just like the instability of it is just so damaging.
Yeah,
because like even I mean this is still going on where it's like I have like some sort of like I've detached myself emotionally from him, but like I still have to interact with him.
Right,
because it's like you're living under the same roof. Mm-hmm. You have to interact with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, in some way. Like, right. there, it needs to happen, or it is bound to happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, there are periods of time where, like, throughout my entire childhood, where it's like, there's periods of time where, like, we're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, like, me and my mom, we're just, it's just totally, like, you know, no talking.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go for, like, months. And then it just suddenly, like, he'll just show up and be like, hey, do you want to go out to lunch?
Yeah.
And I'm like... Do you not remember what happened?
Yeah.
Do you not know that, like, what, you know, what happened? And he just feels like, oh, time has happened.
Right.
You forget, you move on, and then it's just a cycle.
Yeah.
And I think that it's been really difficult because it's almost like, growing up, I'm kind of looking back at it, and I'm like, does he have some sort of, like, you know, is he really able to think that he can just come back and just act like nothing mm-hmm. happened? Is it, like, or does he need help? That he needs to go and like you know figure things out and be like, you can't just do that, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of been difficult where it's like this person genuinely thinks that they've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to kind of, I mean, just like in general, like if someone's mad at you and you're mad at them, it's just easy. You're not talking. And then yeah. they come back and they're just totally like happy. And like, it's hard to be mad at them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you can't just keep on going on. So it's just like, it turned into a cycle initially. It was just like, oh, okay, and we'll just pretend everything's fine. And then until the next fight happens.
Right.
And something else, you know, occurs that just totally like blows things apart.
Yeah.
And then as you keep on, it's just kind of like an explosion. Like the pieces kind of like fall, mm-hmm. you know, everywhere. And it's like you try to piece them back together, but you still lose some stray pieces. And then just eventually you just have nothing because yeah. it's so difficult. And I think that right now it's like, I mean, I'm currently, I haven't talked to him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and he's tried to reach out and been like, oh yeah, everything's fine. What's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And then he'll get mad at me for being like, oh, you're overreacting. And I'm like, you know, it's just not, word. you can't do it. You can't say that because you're the one that started it. You're yeah. the one that made us feel like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, I say us, cause it's just me and my mom.
Right.
Like I'm just viewing this as like a team,
right,
you know?
Right.
Honestly, at this point, your that's unit. What it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and I feel like it's just been so like sad to see that happen. And it's mm-hmm. like, not even just to me and my mom, but just like to any other like sort of support that tries to come into our lives. Like my grandma and my aunt are like super supportive,
mm-hmm.
and they don't live here, but they come in to visit like every so often. Mm-hmm. And that's like my mom's mom and sister.
Okay.
And when they come to visit, it's just total chaos.
Yeah.
Because like it honestly feels like, I mean, my dad's like, oh, they can't come here.
Mm. Because they're big enough to call him out, basically.
Yeah. And yeah. it's like, you know, you can't handle the fact that it's honestly kind of like, you know, you can't handle the fact that someone else is here to support us because yeah. you're not here. It's we can't help it. Like, we need people to, you know, it's just these are people that make our lives better. And
yeah.
we need to, it's like just phone calls aren't enough. Like, we need them to come and be with us.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I think that like my aunt especially has been super a positive influence in my mm-hmm. life. She has Down syndrome,
mm.
and it's just like growing up with that influence, it's like, wow, like it's just like total opposites again, like, you yeah. know, seeing like total like epitome of intolerance,
yeah,
you know, injustice happening and like, you know, abuse, and then you see this like symbol of like, you know, you have this tolerance and you have like opening perspectives, and she's basically like she helps me realize that everyone is different and you can accept people for who they are,
yeah.
and it's not just people aren't defined by what makes them different,
yeah.
but just what they decide to do with their lives. And she can't really her verbal ability isn't super strong, like mm-hmm. she can't communicate with full-on like conversation. It's just been super great to have her like as like even just as like moral support,
yeah,
because it's like she's just like a friend, you know, and I feel like she can like understand mm-hmm. me and everyone. So yeah, but I think that every like her, like having her, I feel like my dad has seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like distinctly this one time when I was a kid, and he just, obviously he doesn't like the fact that he's the only he feels like he's singled out, right?
Right. Everyone's teaming up on him or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. But we're just trying to like, you know, make do and like yeah. make sure that we have support. And he's just totally like, he's like verbally abused her.
Mm.
And it's like, you see these people that you love so much being like torn apart by yeah. someone. And it's like, how can you do that?
Yeah, it breaks your heart.
Yeah. And like a person with, you know, a disability who isn't able to stand up for themselves mm-hmm. is, you know, being like torn apart by someone who just doesn't understand, and like
yeah.
yeah,
it's just so hard. And like, I don't know, I think it's such a testament too of how people are so not defined by their abilities or by these things that we
exactly.
in this society place so much value on, of like, you know, intelligence and success and wealth and all these things. And like, you know, as you, like you kind of described it, like, your dad seems to have sort of, like, a negative, obviously a negative presence in your life, and your aunt, who by, you know, society's standards, maybe doesn't meet all that criteria of, you know, the most intelligent and most this and this. And the impact that she has on your life is so incredibly positive. Yeah. And it's like, that should make us kind of reevaluate how we measure, you know, a good person, right, sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not just like people's view of like who's good and who's bad can't just be like, you know, super extrinsic or materialistic things, right? Like my dad, who was who's obviously like a male, an engineer, like high achieving, like making money, is like, it, you know, society values that,
right?
And doesn't really look at what's beneath that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that we need to think about, because, you know, we can't just go around saying, being defined by our, what's in our bank account, what's, you know, the color of our skin, what's our gender, you know, it's just our identity, like what we are born with and like what we can't control should not be the things that define us.
Yeah.
And I think that there can be positives in that. Like you can, you know, in terms of your identity, you can learn who you are from that, but also kind of like looking outside and seeing like, what can I offer and like, what can I learn and like, think about how can I overcome stuff that maybe defines me that society just doesn't value or just kind of, you know, uses against me.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that's so true. And like, I wonder too, with all these kind of experiences and stuff in your home, like how do you feel about like this next chapter of your life and about like, you know, moving out in college and kind of going on where, you know, you don't necessarily have to have that daily interaction with him. And like, what do you think your relationship is going to look like after that?
I mean, to be honest, I think that there won't be one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I can try to like, you know, make things right. And I don't think it's my responsibility.
No,
to.
Not at all.
And I think that I feel sort of like, scared almost because like my mom, I mean, just as like a background thing, like my family comes from a thing where divorce isn't an option.
Yeah.
And it's very much, it's imprisoning. And like my mom's super independent, you know, she's also an engineer and she like has her own living and she has her own career that she needs to take care of. But it's also like, she feels like society's going to judge her if she tries to break free. I mean, I think that honestly, like our entire relationship is pretty much like her relationship with my dad is pretty much what you would get if you were divorced, but you can't label it as a divorce.
Yeah.
You have to be together like for the outward appearance. And I think that when I leave, it's kind of like, what's going to happen? Because I think that I'm just honestly a little bit scared about, you know, like, will that make him emboldened to kind of, you know, hurt her more?
Right.
Because honestly, like, it's grown to a thing where, like, I stand up for my mom stands up for me. And it's kind of like, once you break that apart, I'm not sure what will happen. And I think that I've told her, like so many times, I'm like, you know, you can't, like, live with him anymore.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I know. But it's honestly like, where do you take the first step?
Yeah.
So I think that it's just a lot of, like, I think I'll blame myself a little bit. Because it's like, I can't move that far away from home. Like, if I move across the country, I can't visit. And I don't know what's happening. And, like, I'm not sure, you know, where things will go.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's like, you know, I have my own life to lead. And my mom's like, you know, you don't worry about me at all.
Yeah.
But it's hard because it's like, you know, you've been
in
my life.
You can't help it. Yeah.
Exactly.
You care about her. You can't help it.
Yeah. So I feel like, but personally, like my relationship with my dad, I honestly, it's beyond repair. And I've accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, it sounds like nonchalant, but I just, I've thought about it a lot.
Right. No, it's not some decision you're hastily making. It's obviously based on a lot of experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's something, it might be for the best, because I think that I shouldn't try to feel obligated to feel like, you know, oh, I need to mend things and make things better. And I think that some people, that might be the best option for them. And I totally respect that. But for me personally, I think that, you know, it's going to do more damage because I have other things to focus on.
So. I think in our society too, there is such a value that we place on family that it is well-intentioned, but can't end up hurting people at the end of the day. We have this feeling of, you know, that you're obligated to stay connected with your family members and to, you know, continue to try to mend these relationships where, you know, maybe someone's getting hurt and you're still just like, well, it's my dad or it's my sister, it's my blah. So I have to fix it and I have to go back and I have to tolerate this. And I think so many people will be, you know, so much better feeling emboldened to, because at the end of the day, like, that's a toxic relationship. Exactly. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you have, you know, you complete right to, you know, remove a toxic person from your life. There is no label, like, just because they are, you know, related to you by blood, it doesn't mean that you're obligated to keep someone who is hurting you in your life. And I think that's so, it's so hard too, because on an outward front, you know that people are going to look at that and be like, oh, you don't talk to your dad?
Exactly.
Oh, that's kind of, oh, you don't want to give him a shot? You don't want to do this? And yeah, you're like, it's not your call to make.
Exactly.
It's just not. You wouldn't say that if it was, you know, an ex-boyfriend or something, you know, exactly, someone who you had a strong connection with or something, and then doesn't work. Someone's gonna be like, oh my God, you don't talk to him anymore?
Right. Exactly.
It's just because it's blood that people are like, how could you do that? And it's not their call to make. It's just not.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, people, it's just a tendency to kind of attribute and be like, oh, parent equals forever.
Right.
You know, and I think that it's not always true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it's nice to kind of be able to, like, you know, just it's hard to talk about it, first of all,
yeah,
because people will judge, and like, inevitably, but like, also I you don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, I want to have like the freedom to do whatever I think is best for me,
right,
without having like the repercussions of people viewing me differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so, yeah. And I think also, like, it's so fun, it's not funny, but you know what I mean, but like, it's so interesting to me how, you know, a lot of the things you have to say definitely parallel my own experiences, and not nearly to the degree that you've experienced them. But I think there is such a, I don't know, like, guarded and definitely very, you know, self-protective component that comes out of that. And this idea of, you know, if people who are supposed to be close to me and who are supposed to, quote unquote, protect me and be there for me aren't necessarily always doing that, it just gives you this sense of, like, I need to build up these walls, because I, you never know who's going to come in and try to hurt you, sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that it's, I mean, I don't want it to lead to like a distrust in people,
right,
but honestly, like, to some extent, like, I feel like to some extent it may have,
yeah,
subconsciously, because like, I find that I don't talk about, like, you know, my dad at all,
mm-hmm,
to my friends. And it's honestly like, when people say like, oh, like, my parents did this or my parents did that, I feel like, oh, I need to say my parents too.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, they're gonna know that it's only one.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a reality that, you know, I only have one parent that I can depend on.
Yeah.
But I feel the need to kind of like group them together when, mm-hmm, I'm talking about, you know, my mom. And like, yeah, it's pretty difficult to keep up that persona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah, it's just gotta be so tough. And like, I don't know, just the way that people judge, and the way that it, and sometimes it's not even judgment necessarily, but it's like the way that you assume that people are going to judge,
yeah,
from experience and,
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. They may not even be judging,
yeah,
you.
But you just feel like they are.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, I've definitely done that before too. And I was just with my therapist the other day, just talking about how she was saying something to me that I thought was really interesting about how, on paper now, like, I'm a very open person, sort of thing, and I like to pride myself on feeling like that's who I am. And to some extent, you know, it's very true, like, obviously, like, I have a podcast, like, I talk about mental health, I talk about family shit, I do all this stuff. But for a really, really long time in my life, and, you know, still to some extent, I am very guarded. And there are things that, yes, like, there are things that I am willing to talk about to a degree, and I'm willing to talk about because, you know, maybe I feel like it's going to help someone else or something. But there are things that are definitely a lot, lot deeper and a lot, lot closer to home that I don't really talk about, because I just don't, I'm not at the point yet where I feel like safe enough to talk about them, sort of thing. Because,
yeah,
I don't think I've accepted them with myself.
Exactly. Because it's like, you know, before you, like, you know, tell it to other people, you have to make peace with it on,
yeah,
your own. And it's like, yeah, it's super hard. And I feel like, yeah, I found that, I mean, about myself too, like, I'm,
mm-hmm,
I'm also like a pretty guarded person. Like, when you meet me, like, I tend to talk about stuff that is not family, it's not,
right,
myself, it's about stuff that maybe I've done or like,
mm-hmm,
my experiences, but it's not stuff that defines me, like in terms of like what I was born into or like my culture or yeah. my family or my relationships with my parents. And like, honestly, there's like good things and bad things that I've learned from that, because mm-hmm. it's kind of like there's so much other aspects of my life that's not, you know, just stuff that I don't have control over.
Right.
But also kind of saying that, you know, when people meet me, they need to know me.
Yeah.
And not stuff about me, you know?
Right. All of me sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
And how do you feel, too? I know you kind of mentioned, like, culture and stuff there, too. How do you feel like that, like, your family background and stuff? And, like, and I know before when we were talking to you, you mentioned, like, religion and kind of how... I'm just curious as, like, as to how that's kind of affected your life experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I think that my culture, I mean, without just... I'm willing to say that.
Yeah.
I come from like an Indian culture.
Yeah.
And my family is Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the religious, I guess I would say like the values mm-hmm. that I've grown up with are very much, I mean, there are some religious overtones to that.
Right.
Like my mom isn't especially like super, super religious, but it's just a lot of faith that goes on. But I think that to some extent, like the whole like divorce thing is a religious thing.
Yeah.
And I think that some things are, it's kind of like, oh, we're afraid to break that. Even though like, you know, my family as a whole is like, or like my mom's side of the family is not super like, oh, just follow the rules.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of like, oh, what will people think? Oh, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a religious, you know, fundamental thing. It's like marriage. You can't
right.
break that. But, like, even got to do with, like, personally, like, growing up with that, I found that, honestly, like, my grandmother is, I love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, amazing. And she's a little bit, like, my family as a whole is just super, like, the superstitious part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people, if they're Indian, they know that, like, you know, it tends to be kind of, like, a lot of superstitions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, you do things on a certain day. You make sure you follow this holiday and you do this custom, and it's kind of like some of that stuff is nice because it's like tradition,
right?
But honestly, like, I found that just blindly following something isn't the best way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I'm not sure where that leaves me, like, in terms of my religious identity.
Yeah.
But like, I think I'm still figuring that out, because it's kind of like I'm not going to go out and say like, oh, I'm an atheist,
right?
But it's also kind of like I have like faith, like but it's honestly kind of like, well, like, how do I believe it if I've not seen it? You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And I think that, like, a lot of people in, like, my generation can, at least most people might be able to, like, you know, relate to that.
For
be,
sure.
Like, you know, living in, like, where it's just technology and science and STEM and, like, stuff seeing is believing. It's
right.
honestly, like, hard to let go of, you know, it's let go of that and be like, you know, I'm just going to put my faith into something I can't even, you know, experience or
right.
see. So, yeah, like, I think growing up, it's kind of like, you don't want to abandon your roots and where you come from,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you want to build your own values.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, when I, like, get older, I feel like I'm not sure whether I'm going to be... Because I feel like the religiousness or, like, the piety, I guess, of the generations has kind of, like, diminished a little bit. Because
mm-hmm.
it's also, like, changing times. Like,
right.
my, like, grandmother's... She's more religious than my mom, and I think that I'm less religious than my mom.
Right.
And I think that I don't want to completely, like, abandon, like, the, you know, the Indian culture
right.
that I've been brought up with and that has taught me so much. But it's also kind of, like, realizing that, you know, you don't have to follow something just because people say that you should, you know?
Yeah.
So.
It's funny, too. I was thinking that the other day, my dad was raised very, like, not even Catholic, not Catholic, but he's Armenian too, and so he was raised, like, Armenians are a very Christian population in general, and that's why they kind of were ostracized sort of in the Middle East, because, you know, the Middle East is predominantly Muslim, and Armenians are a Christian minority, and my dad was raised pretty Christian, and not that they would, like, I don't think they went to church and stuff, but it was very much like, like, a lot of his habits and things became ingrained in him because it was like, if you don't do this, Satan will come for you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, you are going to suffer consequences
right,
and all that. And I think it had, you know, it took a hold of his life in a way that he didn't you know, didn't ask for and didn't get to make that decision in. And I think that was kind of part of his religious journey in terms of like when, how he decided it, how he wanted to raise his kids. And same for my mom. My mom was raised Catholic, and my grandma still, like, my grandma, I'm pretty sure she used to be a nun or something like that. Or she used to like, she still like sings in her church choir and stuff. And she's such a cutie. But yeah, my mom was like, yeah, this is not for me. Like, right, this is, you know, like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I don't necessarily agree with these values, or, you know, some of them I agree with, but I don't necessarily need to put them into practice or label myself as a Catholic or something like that. And so when, you know, when I was born, because I'm the oldest, they were like, how are we going to do this religiously? And they were kind of like, you know, we're just not really going to do anything. Mm-hmm. We're just going to kind of put our hands up and be like, all right, what happens, happens. And however you drift, you're welcome to do, and whatever. Right. And I think my dad would definitely still call himself Christian, and he has like a little cross next to his bed, and like it's interesting too, because he is still very superstitious and stuff. And if like, if certain numbers come up, certain days, there are things where he's like, I don't know. And whereas my mom, I think, would call herself agnostic. And my brother the other day, and like a lot of my friends were raised with religion and stuff too. So for me, it wasn't, I was kind of the odd one out almost in like not having had that. Like my friends like said, you know, I don't even know what it's called, prayer or something before dinner or whatever. And like my friends had like their first communions and were baptized in this stuff. And I was like, nah, not me. I went to Hume Lake in sixth grade. It's like church camp, but that's it. Just because it was fun. But like my brother the other day was like, Casey, what religion are you? And I was like, I have no idea. Like literally zero clue. Like I'm still very much on that journey for myself. Right. But like you, I'm not like, oh, I'm an atheist. Like I'm not at a point where I can say I'm one thing or the other. I'm like, I think that there's something, but I don't know what, and I can't see it, but I don't really know. Like it's just like so many questions, and it's, you know, I think being raised with something is always, it always is that kind of back and forth of like, do I keep, you know, my traditional things, and do I stay with my roots, or do I forge my own path, and is one wrong and one right, or is there a middle ground?
I think that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's difficult to kind of pick and choose, but I feel like honestly, like the best way to go about it is just let it happen.
Yeah.
Like
you said, don't force it.
Don't force it. And I think that, yeah, like my family is similar to yours. Like my mom just didn't try to, you know, send me to like, I don't even know what it's called, like Hindu school. I don't know. Like whatever. There's like there are like, you know, classes that you can take and like, you know, go to the temple and like make sure you learn everything. And it was kind of like, I grew up kind of like maybe like reading some like, we have like these like religious, not religious, but like comic books that are kind of like tales and like of like, you know, stories from you know, like the epic, you know, the epic stories of like Hinduism, and it's like, you know, it's fun to read, but it's honestly you don't know what to take from that and be like, oh, does that define me as like, oh, am I this or that? But yeah, I think that it was also, it's interesting what you brought up, like your dad, like the kind of his background being a minority where he comes from. It's kind of like the opposite with my family, where it's kind of like in India the majority is Hindu, and they're not really like ostracized or kind of like excluded from society. And I think that like affects what people's view on their own religion is too, because it's kind of like it influences like your political beliefs and like how you view other, you know, faiths. And like I think that I've tried to kind of like, my family's pretty like liberal even in India, and they're not like super, you know, like, oh, this is how it needs to be, like, there's only one religion for this country, but it's honestly like, it's interesting to think about where it's like different backgrounds and like whether you're a majority or a minority, it influences things, and you know, it can be passed down. I think that I'm lucky to kind of like come from a family which, even though like they're a majority in terms of religious preference, it's kind of like passing down tolerance towards other faiths, and like I think that's super important.
And especially like in this community too, where like you said before, like it is very homogenous. Like it, you know, especially, well, I think it's gotten hopefully a little better. I, you know, I'd have to look at the numbers to say for sure, but like it is predominantly white neighborhood. It's predominantly wealthy, predominantly Christian. And yeah, you know, we're not in the Bible Belt. It's not that kind of Christian.
Right.
But like, Yeah, like you, if you drive around town, you'll see a lot of churches. Maybe they're Presbyterian or Catholic or this or that in, you know, some Christian version. But you don't see, there's no, like, there's one, like, Jewish temple. Like,
yeah.
One.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then exactly. It's like, where's the Hindu temple? I don't see one. Where's the mosque? I can't find one. You know what I mean? And it's like, maybe that should be kind of, you know, keying us in there to the fact that we don't get to see a lot of different perspectives and stuff here. And I also wonder, like, how that kind of affected you growing up and just in, you know, like what you said too, like when, like, you were younger, not necessarily feeling like you were like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I think that for sure, like, obviously since I'm not white,
mm-hmm.
and growing up in like elementary school, most of my classmates were white.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably the only person who was not white.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like seeing that, oh, everybody else looks different than me. But I feel like I didn't really feel like I was different until I was treated different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to some extent, there are just a few moments in my childhood that, like, stand out.
Yeah.
Where, like, I remember, like, one of my friends, I would just go over to her, because she's, like, one of my neighbors, and I would, you know, go over to her house and be like, oh, you want to play? And she'll be like, I don't talk to anyone who isn't white. And, like, I was like, wait, what does that mean? And then I just, like, stuff like that. Or I remember, it was just so messed up. We had, like, this, I was in a group of friends. Who even knows who your friends were in, like, kindergarten?
Yeah,
we were just
exactly.
hanging out with people. And it was just, like, they would, like, it got into, like, a ranking game with, like, who's the prettiest? And it was just kind of, like, inevitably, like, I end up on the bottom of the spectrum because it's just,
oh,
like...
Oh, my God.
But I'm like, okay, like, you can think that. And I would just go Jeez home and I would Louise. Be like, what do you... like, why?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, like... They're probably, I mean, I'm not blaming them. They were 5 years old.
Right,
and
right.
And it's honestly kind of like people, again, are afraid of what they don't know, which is kind of like they might have not been, you know, it's something that's new to them.
Yeah.
Or they are not used to. And it's like, push that away as soon mm-hmm. as you can, you know, before it, you know, creeps up and you have to worry
right.
about it, right? So, yeah, and I think that growing up, kind of realizing that people do treat you differently based mm-hmm. off of how you look, it's kind of been like eye-opening because it's kind of like... made me more aware of how I treat mm-hmm. other people. So yeah, I think that, I mean, even like, I mean, fitting in, it's not like, I'm not going to say that like it was super hard to fit in.
Right.
I mean, I quickly did like find a place and like, you know, was able to, mm-hmm. you know, assimilate pretty well. I mean, like I'm born here. Like I don't have like another, like a different accent.
Right.
But it's just kind of, even just the way you look can make a difference.
Yeah.
And also can shape people's expectations of you.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, you're the math whiz.
Right.
You're supposed to be math Olympiad.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Do you, like, how do you feel like it's, if at all, like, affected your perception of yourself in terms of, like, beauty and, you know, things that are conventionally, you know, supposed to be what makes someone pretty or something like that?
I think that I'm lucky that it hasn't really, like, made me think that I'm any less
right.
than other people. And I think that it depends. It just totally depends. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm super stable. And that
no, right.
happen.
Could be day to day.
Yeah. But it's just like, depending on your background and like your mindset, when that happens, people, you know, deal with it differently. And I think
right.
personally, I just kind of was like, you know, my, that's not how I define myself. And
yeah.
if people want to, you know, say that, oh, you look different, you know, you are not as pretty. It's just like, fine.
Yeah.
And I think that, it's kind of, since I just haven't viewed it as a central part of my life.
Right.
And I've kind of been like, you know, I have other things that I am passionate about and I'm going to pursue that.
Yeah.
And I think that I truly do think that once you like figure out who you are and like you go after who you like or what you're passionate about.
Right.
You look at yourself and you think that you're beautiful. Like
totally.
Yeah. So I think that it hasn't. I think that everyone goes through that stage where it's, like, the body image
right.
thing. And I have had some problems with that, like, kind of, like, looking at myself and looking at everyone else. I'm like, oh, they're sticks. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
They are so, like, skinny. Oh,
right.
How do I do that? And it's kind of like, oh, I have to change something.
Yeah.
Or
what should I do to achieve that?
Exactly. Or, like, I have to, like, work out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly, that's also, like, culture. Like, I mean, just different body types.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, like... trying to deal with that. I guess I'm still dealing with that. Like, I have to, you know, make peace with the fact that, like, I won't look like, you know, the ideal, you know,
right,
model or whatever.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I think that it's something that it's sad that people do struggle with that mm-hmm. a lot. And I think that I have in the past, but I think that I'm slowly trying to overcome it.
Yeah, which is awesome. And it's so interesting too. Like, I think there's some video of where they basically put together like composites of what each culture sees as, you know, the most beautiful. And it's so different, mm-hmm. so different, varying from place to place. And I think that's what's pretty interesting about the U.S. too, in that since it is, you know, the melting pot and there are so many different people of different skin tones, backgrounds, all that stuff, it's like, what is our definition of beauty going to be? Because not everyone's going to fit that. Whereas, you know, if you're going somewhere, and even like in, you know, India and Asia and different parts where like whiteness is still the beauty standard.
Yeah,
which I think it's crazy how fucked up like European, you know, beauty standards, like Eurocentric beauty ideas have just taken over the world in such, and it just has such negative impact sometimes. And it's just so unfair, you know, it's just one of those things where you're like, that's not fair for anyone to have to look in the mirror and think, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't look ideal. I'm too dark. I'm too this. I'm too that. Like, it's just not. And I think we just all have to be really mindful of the things we say and the way that we, I don't know, even the people that we choose to sort of like look up to and worship. Like, you even like looking at all the Instagram models and all the people who are famous, they're all white.
Exactly.
They're all white. They're all skinny white girls. Most of them are blonde. Like, there's a pattern to them. And like when we put those people on a pedestal, we're sending a message of, this is what we find to be attractive.
Exactly. And that implicitly puts other people down.
Completely.
Because it's like, you know, you don't fit the image, you know.
Right.
Just the
you
mold.
Don't look like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that like, as we progress, like we are hopefully obviously getting more diverse as a country. And I think that there needs to be a certain amount of, you know, room for change, because it's like, I mean, back in where, like, you know, there was like almost no immigrants. It was just, you know, white people, you know, who had most of the power and stuff like that. It, you know, made sense because that's all they knew.
Right.
But now that we have like an influx of ideas and people coming in and contributing their own perspectives, it's like, do we really want to stay like that?
Yeah.
We have to change. So I think that translates to a lot of other aspects, like views on like immigration and views on, you know, political ideologies.
Yeah.
And
Gov, here we go.
I know. And just like, you know, how we view each other.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, we're obviously in a very divisive position in our country right now. But like, I think that hopefully we can, you know, move away from the thing where it's like, oh, is, you know, are immigrants really good? Are they really beneficial? Is diversity good?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, we should just view it as, you know, like, why even view it as like, we should just view it as a diversity of ideas. Like, why view it as like, you're different from you or different from you. It's just like, everyone has different cultures. Everyone has different backgrounds. Just, you know, accept that and just move on.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And then, you know, now reflecting on your experiences and now kind of being at a point where you can look back on your life and realize the things that were great and the things that were not so great, what, if anything, would you say, like, what kind of advice would you give to either, you know, someone younger than you or even your younger self, of just kind of things that you've learned?
Just probably the one thing is that what you think defines you just does not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can craft your own path. And what you think is kind of what you're supposed to do and what you're not able to escape. It's almost like, you know, if you come from a background and you think that you can't escape that because it's just what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Just kind of get out of that thinking, because, you know, you're your own person. And I know it sounds cheesy, but it's...
No, but it's true. It's so true.
It's just like, you know, you're a different person than your parents and your peers for a reason. Like, you're your own person.
Right.
And you can be you can be completely different from your family, or you can be similar. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. As long as you are, like, you know what you want.
Right.
And you're not looking at other people and saying, like, oh, I want to be like that person, or I have to be like this person. and just like, you know, just be like your own self.
Yeah.
And that's honestly like, it's easier said than done for
right,
sure.
Right, right.
And like, I think that we can all agree that it takes super time, difficult.
It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like being able to first identify that you're in a position where you're being influenced by things that
yeah.
you don't want to be influenced by is a step towards the right direction.
100%.
So, yeah.
I love that. Dude, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you so much for having
me. I'm so, like, this is so cool. Like, I love getting to talk to you. And it's so crazy, too, because I just think about, like, you know, like, we're going to go, you know, sit next to each other in class exactly. tomorrow, too, and then have yeah. this, like, knowledge of each other and this, like, new perspective of one another and, you know, what the other person's experienced. So I'm very grateful that you let me in and, you know, yeah, shared all that stuff with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Yeah.